How many of you remembered the email I sent out about bringing sunglasses this morning? If you did, you can put them on. I want to see if I can read with mine on. If not, then I can't cooperate. So we're going to go ahead and turn the lights out. So gentlemen, right behind you, if you want to turn those lights out, we can leave the screens on. There we go. Can I see? Pretty much. I think I can. All right. There you go. So, how interesting. We sang, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Come on. I didn't know we were going to sing that. And then I open up our book that starts today, May the 1st, day one. Shine, Jesus, shine. Come on. You think the Lord's trying to tell us something today? I think he's trying to tell us something. There we go. We're on it. We are hearing from the Lord. So how different, Pastor Kurt will appreciate this, how different is light and dark? Pastor Kurt, they're as different as night and day. Nobody else thought that was funny. I thought that was funny. Different as night and day. Okay, I'm going to move right along. I'm not the joke person, so I thought I'd try it. But apparently, when Pastor Kurt does it, it's funny. When I do it, it's not. But seriously, they are opposites. However, they are not equal. Come on. They are not equal. They are opposites, but not equal. Hollywood would like you and I to think that darkness is actually more powerful than light. For instance, at night, spiders drop from the ceiling. Becky is on her way home from Poland. She left Denmark at 6:30 this morning. If I would even mention spiders in her presence, she would have left the room. She did get to see the kids at the orphanage 3 or 4 times, and then she got to minister some other places with Pastor Rick and Nancy. So she comes home with a full heart, but she's quite emotional because she doesn't know when she'll see them again. So, for instance, at night, spiders drop from the ceiling. Sully and Mike Wazowski sneak into your bedroom. Not to mention vampires and zombies. But darkness is not more powerful. It's not even equal to light. Genesis 1:1. First God created the heavens and the earth. All you see and all you don't see. The earth was inky blackness. Then God said, let there be light, and there was. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Come on. God is in control of both light and dark. And a reminder, light quickly, easily, and powerfully overcomes the dark. All right, let's switch our lights back on. We can turn all those on. You can take your sunglasses off. Light quickly, easily, and powerfully overcomes the dark. John the Baptist's father prophesied in Luke 1, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, with which, listen, the sunrise from on high shall visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Who was he talking about? John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus, who is the sunrise, who would come and shine upon those who sit in darkness. That comes from Isaiah 9:2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. They will be glad in His presence. So I got thinking, there are these prophecies. Jesus is going to come. He's going to bring light. He's going to shine. He's going to be the sunrise. How did people receive that light? How did they react to the light that Jesus brought into the world? So you want to turn with me if you want to follow along in John 1. Marlene, you can use your new Bible today. She got a new Bible. John 1. 1. John 1. Get it on your phone. Get it in your Bible. Hey, Andrew, could you sneak me up just a little bit? I can always tell when I'm forcing my... Do you need my mic to come up a little more? Is that better? Okay, awesome. You ready? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hey, Dory, you want to prop that open? We need to close for our darkness illustration, but it's a little stuffy in here. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Come on. They are not equal. The darkness did not overcome it. There came a man from God whose name was John. Remember, we just heard from John's father? He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light that coming into the world, listen, enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But listen, we're in verse 12. But as many as received him. Come on, is that us? Church, is that us? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So just to make it completely clear, it wasn't just prophesied about him. Jesus actually said of himself in John 8, I am the light of the world. So not only did he bring the light, but he himself is the light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Come on. We don't walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We have Jesus, so we have the light. And that light quickly, easily, and powerfully overcomes any darkness. So when we go into a dark place, when we enter the dark world, when we enter a dark situation, the light in us, which is Jesus in us, quickly, easily, and powerfully overcomes the darkness. Do not believe the lie that we have been told that darkness is more powerful. That is a lie. We have nothing to fear. When we walk in and bring the light, darkness has to leave. It cannot stay. Light and darkness cannot be in the same place. Jesus is the light of the world, the light that darkness could not and cannot overcome. Come on. Hebrews 1:3. The sun radiates, not S-U-N, S-O-N, radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the word of his power. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what we're being told, he sustains everything by the word of his power. In James, we're told that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows change. No darkness. His realm and power, his realm of power and authority is a kingdom of light. How powerful is this light? We want to look just at two examples from Jesus' life today. So we're in Mark 9 now. Mark 9. We're going to look at two instances in Jesus' life. The first one starts in verse 2. Mark 9, 2. Light quickly, easily, and powerfully overcomes darkness. Come on. Do we believe that? Are we expecting that? Are we looking for that? Mark 9, verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he brought them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Okay, that's not a word we use every day, so let's see what transfigured means. His garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Come on. Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said that because he did not know what to say, because they were terrified. Then a cloud formed, overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." That would make you sit up and take notice. Come on. Come on, Jack. "This is my beloved Son. You better listen up." And all at once, they looked around and saw no one with them except Jesus alone. He was transfigured. They got to see him in a little bit of his glory. A little bit of his glory. Because we're told in Revelations, John sees him and this is what he looks like. "And in the midst of the lamp stands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow." Listen, "his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze being refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword." Listen. "And his face was like the sun shining in its full strength." Come on. Who can look up at the sun when it's shining in its full strength? Not unless you want to burn out a retina, right? So Jesus is the light of the world. His light easily, powerfully, and quickly dispels all darkness. There is not a battle. It's not a battle. Just easily and quickly. So how bright is the sun when it's shining in all its glory? That's the light that Jesus brought, and that's the light that we carry with us. Okay, so they came down from the mountain, and Jesus, remember, he just took the three with him. So the rest of his disciples were doing some things. And they come down from the mountain, and Jesus is like, "What are you all talking about?" Because he could tell they were in the middle of a, maybe not heated discussion, but an involved discussion. And this man said, well, while you were up there, okay, I'm paraphrasing some of this, I brought my son to your disciples. I brought him to you, but you weren't here, so to your disciples. And I asked them to take care of the demonic possession that he had. Okay, so let's listen at the story. I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, he grinds his teeth, and he stiffens. I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. Jesus says, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him. And they brought the boy to Jesus. When the boy saw Jesus, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. He fell on the ground. He rolled around foaming at the mouth. And, you know, see, Jesus didn't panic. Jesus didn't go, oh my goodness, a demon. Okay? Jesus actually ignored the demon. And he turns to the father and he says, so how long has the boy been like this? And the father said, since his childhood. And he said, if you can do anything, would you take pity on us and do it? Jesus says, I just love how plain he is. What do you mean, if I can? Come on now. How many times is Jesus asking us the same question? Because I know sometimes how I pray, and I heard sometimes how some of you pray, not pointing any fingers, and we say, Jesus, if you can do anything about this situation, or Jesus, if you're bigger than this thing that has been named over me or spoken over me or diagnosis that I've been given, and goodness, when I look at the news, I'm almost convinced you're not bigger than what's happening in the news. See? And can't you just hear Jesus saying, what do you mean, if I can? That's what he says. What do you mean, if I can? All things are possible to him who believes. I'm not saying that. Jesus said that. All things. Not most things, not some things, not a few things. All things are possible. Immediately, the boy's father cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. See, we can pray that same thing, and I've prayed that. Because I prayed and I thought, I'm not really believing that. I can tell by the way I'm praying. I can tell in my heart. I'm hoping, but I'm not really believing. And so then I just paused and I said, Jesus, forgive my unbelief, but help my unbelief. Because I'm choosing to believe. Come on, right? We can choose to believe and then say, but Jesus, help my unbelief. Because we're being honest that there's still some unbelief there, right? I mean, unless you're all perfect and it's just me who still has some unbelief. If so, you can pray for your pastor. You can pray for him anyway. But. Okay, so what does Jesus do? Okay, he gets himself all worked up and he doesn't know if this is going to happen or not. I don't think so. He rebuked the unclean spirit and said, you deaf and dumb spirit, I, listen, command you, come out and do not enter him again. Come on. After crying out and throwing him into convulsions, it came out and the boy was like a corpse. And the crowd was saying, he's dead, he's dead. Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up. Light, quickly, powerfully, and easily dispels darkness. There is no contest between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Light is more powerful. Light is stronger. Light dispels darkness. Nothing is impossible to those who believe Jesus, who is the light. One day, Jesus was teaching his disciples. So think about this. You're traveling along with Jesus and you want to hear from him and, you know, you're calling him rabbi because you're feeling like he's your teacher and you want to follow him and learn from him. So Jesus says, hey, I'm up here on the hillside. Come up and join me. Okay, so can you picture that? Someplace that has a little bit of a rise and some grass. And Jesus sits down and he tells his disciples to sit around me. And then he starts teaching them. Now, if you did that, hopefully you had some expectation. I wonder what Jesus is going to teach me today. I wonder what he's going to say. We can have that same expectation when we read the word and when we pray and talk to Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but he still has things to teach me. He still has things to say to me. And so I feel like they were there with some expectation of what Jesus was going to say. What am I going to learn today? But you know, he said things that they didn't understand. Does he ever say things to you that you don't understand? Yeah, he does. But we can ask him to help us to understand. And he had talked to them about some things that we call the Beatitudes. Well, if you read those, some of those are a little hard to grasp, to believe, to understand. But then he does something amazing. Now remember, he had said, I am the light of the world. So he's sitting there and he's talking with his disciples and he looks around. He says, but you are the light of the world. You. And I'm just picturing myself in that group and I'm going like, no, you are the light of the world. And Jesus looks back at me and goes, no, I'm saying you are the light of the world. Come on. Jesus is saying that to us today. Yes. I can just see him pointing his fingers and saying, you are the light of the world. Jesus is here through us, but Jesus isn't here physically. He's made us the light of the world. Come on. A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. Okay, it's obvious. If a city's up on top of a hill, it's there for everybody to see. When you light a lamp, you don't put it under a bushel. You set it on a table so that it gives light to all in the house. Now listen, Jesus gives us instructions here. You ready? Let your light shine before people so that they may see the good you are doing and give God the glory. So that means don't hide it in your house. Don't hide it in the church. See, we're good at letting our light shine and being good with each other, but how about out there? How about out there? Come on, that's what Jesus is asking us today. He didn't say, pick up your light, carry it into church, and show everybody your light. Look, here's my light. You show me. Yep, see, you have one, I have one, we all have lights. Yay, we all have lights. And we're all excited about that. He says, go out there. Show it out there. Let everybody see your good works. And what are they going to do? They're going to applaud you? No, they're going to give God the glory. How about that assignment? We are the light. Come on. That's pretty amazing. We just spent 20 minutes talking about Jesus being the light, and then he turns and says, no, you're the light. And I don't want you to hide the light. I want you to shine the light. So where are we to do the good deeds? Behind closed doors or out there? In here or out there? I think you're getting it. I think you're getting it. Because we want others to recognize Jesus and praise him. So if somebody says, why are you doing this? Why are you helping that way? We can say, because that's what Jesus would do. We could say, that's because Jesus asked me to do that. That might get a response from them. You're not pointing a finger at them. You're not talking about their lifestyle. You're just pointing out you're doing what you're doing because that's what Jesus would do. See, we have had so many years of people thinking that what Jesus did happened at the church. And if they want to find out anything about Jesus, or they want to meet Jesus, or they want to learn more about Jesus, they have to be brave enough to show up at a church. And some of our churches haven't been real inviting for people to just walk in the way they were. So Jesus says, take your light out there and shine it. And then when they ask why you're doing that, you can say, because of Jesus. And then he'll get the glory. That sounds like a plan. Does Sounds like a plan. Jesus instructs us to help the poor and the needy. He teaches us to help the widows and the orphans, those who need clothing, food, and shelter. Listen, even those who are aliens, foreigners, and strangers. I don't want to go up to somebody who's strange, different than me, different culture. Well, talk to Jesus about that. Or in prison, a criminal. I don't think I want to talk to criminals. Really? You know, it doesn't take much to become one. You and I know that Jesus came as the light of the world, but when did we become that light? How did that happen? We know Jesus said it, but you know me, I like proof. I like to be able to logically think that out. Well, yeah, Jesus said it, but when did that happen? Ephesians 5:8. Some of you have this memorized. For once you were full of darkness, once, but now. Come on, are we a but now? But now you are light in the Lord. So live as people of light. For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. I think that's a good verse. I didn't get an amen or anything. See, Pastor Van's downstairs and, you know, the good old Southern boy who would say, well, he doesn't do whoop whoop, but he does it. Yeah, do it. Speak it. Preach it, brother. Colossians 1:12-13. Give thanks to Father God who has enabled us to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people, listen, who live in the light. Colossians 1:12-13. For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now picture that. So he came to the kingdom of darkness and delivered us. Come on, when you deliver somebody, you're pulling them out of slavery, out of the lifestyle that they're entangled in. He came and delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness. Come on now. And he brought us over, and now we're in the kingdom of light. Delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of light. So here we are. Come on. We are now in the kingdom of light. We are children of the light. We are the light of the world. Come on. That's something we have to remember every day. We're not part of that anymore. We're in a new kingdom. And we're to represent that kingdom. Once full of darkness, now full of light. Once in the domain of darkness, now in the kingdom of light. Come on, that's something to be excited about. So what are you and I supposed to do with that light we carry, the light of Jesus within it? Let it shine. Let it shine. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Listen, as a result, you are to declare, Mike, I'm going to have you come up and do your verse in a minute. You are to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's our assignment. That's our assignment. Mike, come up and share your verse, and then we're going to take communion together.
In Job, starting Job 22, starting at verse 21. This is in the MEV version. It's now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace.
Sorry about that.
Thereby good will come to you. Receive, I pray, the teaching from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will put away iniquity far from your tents. Then you will lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. For then you will delight yourself in the Almighty, and will lift up your face unto God. You will make your prayer to Him, and He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare a matter, and it will be established unto you, and the light will shine upon your ways. If I can share just one thing briefly, in this part that we have to do, you will declare a matter, it will be established. His word says about asking, about seeking, about knocking. It doesn't say, when you read that, if you search into it, ask once, seek once, knock once. Our position is to keep on until we receive it. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching to myself, but there's some things I want that I've wanted for years and I've not got yet. Am I supposed to stop because, well, I guess that's not going to happen? That's a lie right out of you know where. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Declare. What you say with your mouth is seed that you're sowing.
Thank you. So, Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, remember, he took the bread and broke it, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup, and he said, this is representative of the new covenant. The new covenant. And as often as you eat and drink, do in remembrance of me. So there's a couple reasons we do communion. We do this Last Supper. One is just to remember. We want to remind ourselves of Jesus' death and resurrection. One is to have communion with Him again. Just quieting our hearts and our minds and in a state of gratefulness for what He's done, saying, Jesus, I just want to sit at your feet. I just want to hear from you. I just want you to draw close, and as you draw close, I'm drawing close. And then thirdly, it's a time to receive the benefits of the cross and His resurrection. Come on. So if you're here today and you need healing, you know there's so many different ways of getting healed. Jesus spoke. Jesus laid hands. Jesus declared. Jesus went. Jesus stayed. You can receive healing just remembering what Jesus' death on the cross provided for you. And when you take the elements, say, Jesus, I'm just receiving the healing that's mine because by your stripes I'm healed. If you need peace today or strength today or encouragement today, all those things are available to us because we're part of His kingdom because of His death and resurrection. We are His sons and His daughters. So you can receive everything you need today as you partake of the elements. The power isn't in the elements. The power is remembering what Jesus' death and resurrection paid for and bought for us and is now ours to receive. Amen?